We say it's always in order to follow the Spirit of the Lord. We can do things if we're not careful and get ahead of the Lord and offend the Spirit of God. And then the drawing stops and the sweetness stops. So I always want to encourage the church, you follow the Lord. God puts something on your heart to do. You do it. I've not come to take away your liberty at all. I've come to be a help to you and labor together. That's a beautiful thing. We're laboring together. Don't you just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying this morning, come. In one place in the book of Revelation, the Bible said that the bride says come and the Spirit says come and let all who will come and drink of the river of life freely. Aren't you glad that our God doesn't reject us? That Jesus said in one place, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There are a lot of people that portray the Lord as someone that is judgmental, sitting upon the throne, just waiting on us to make a mistake so that he can cast judgment upon us. I'll tell you this, that's not the Jesus I know, and that's not the Jesus I serve. This scripture this morning found in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and also the same account is found in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I'll probably pull from both of them and be as expedient with it as I can, but I do want to leave with you what God has laid upon our heart this morning. This is a scripture so often it's misunderstood, and so often there are people that take it to say something that it does not. But you always have to put the scripture of God in the context of which it happened. In Matthew, the 15th chapter and the 21st verse, and even the very first part of this is very important. Verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, in your word, I don't know that there's ever been a scripture that has been so taken out of context to portray you, Jesus, as someone that you're not. Lord, we that know you know that thou art a loving Savior, that thou art a compassionate Savior. Lord, that you are a drawing, caring Savior. And Lord, it would be your will, Lord, to draw ever whoso will that they may come and be saved. God, I'm so thankful this morning that I know where I'm going when I die. I know I'm saved. But God, maybe there's somebody here this morning that just don't know where they stand with you. God, they just don't know what would happen to their soul when they die. God, I pray this morning through your word, Lord, reveal to them their need for Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you love us the way that you do. Now, God, help us, Lord, this morning. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. Forgive us of self. Empty us of self. And God, preach your word this morning in a loving, drawing way. In Christ's name we humbly beg for our sake. Amen and amen. This is a story, like I said, that is so often misunderstood. You first look at this story, and it almost looks like that Jesus is turning this woman away. But that's not at all what's going on here. This is an account of how the Lord is drawing from what's in her heart to the outside to reveal to her the faith that she has. Now I want to tell you this morning, God does not put us through the fire or allow us to go through the fire that He might prove us to Him. He already knows us. He knows our heart. But every now and then God will allow us to go through the fire that He can prove that what's in us is real. That's why one writer said, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He told a church over in Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And I don't know about you brothers and sisters, but over this life of mine, I've got some gold that's been tried in the fire. I've been through some ups and downs. I've been through some great, great travesties of my own making. I'm the worst enemy of, I guess, my own self. But I'll say this here, that Jesus tells these disciples, I must go, and he goes into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That is a very important scripture. This is the only account we have in scripture where the Lord left Israel and went into the coast. This is now the modern day, the modern day country of Lebanon. He leaves Israel and he goes into this little old place, and if you read the other Gospel of Mark, you'll find out he goes into a little old home, and there he's got a desire to be away from everybody and apart from everybody. Somebody said, you know what, Brother Russell, I can't believe of how the Lord treated this lady. We got to understand this. He went to where he went to give her an opportunity. He knew that she was coming. He knew that she needed him. And so he put himself where he was. It was not an accident he was in that house. It was not an accident that he had left Israel. This is the first time we see him outside of the land of Israel. There he was. And here she's got a daughter that's grieving. Vexed with the devil. Now let me say this, and I'm going to be real careful. God help me here. I don't know what it is about whenever young men and young women turn about 12, 13, or 14 years old, but I believe I can say I've seen this. Now, my daughter's here this morning. Y'all saw me go up and hug her neck. Let me say this. Honey, you never put me through that, and I love you for that, and thank you, because what little hair I've got would certainly be gone. But oh, we had a son, and on the other hand, anybody got one of those on the other hand children? Yeah, I don't know. He was 12 one day, and he was daddy's little buddy, and the next day, something was in him that I didn't know anymore. Y'all ever had a child like that? You know, when those old hormones get to rage in it, and for young men, testosterone begins to move through the body. And Lord help, I don't know how to explain estrogen other than to say, be very, very careful. And so here this daughter is, and she's grievously vexed with the devil. And this woman, I don't know, and this is a strange thing. I don't know how she knew he was going to be there. I don't know how she got word. Maybe word traveled through the community. That might have been the way it happened. That, you know, Jesus has made his way into the city. And she said, oh, here's my opportunity. I don't know, maybe God sent something to her heart. There was something that welled up and she just went to where she went. I don't know why she went there, but I do know this. She knew who she was looking for. She was looking for Jesus. And so she gets there and she says, Hosanna, she says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That thou son of David is a proclamation that he is the Messiah. Now here's a woman that is not a Jew, and she goes up, and what she is saying is, I know you're the Messiah. You're the one that the Jews prophesied about. You're the Christ. Hosanna, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what the Lord did? He turned away like he didn't even hear her. He didn't give any heed to her call. He paid her no attention whatsoever. You say, Brother Russell, why did the Lord do that? And I believe this may be why. Have you ever prayed and felt like God didn't hear your prayer? Have you ever called out and felt like that God's ear was heavy and did not hear you? I believe that account was left in Scripture for all of us who live today, and every now and we call upon the Lord and it seems like He doesn't answer us and He doesn't hear us. It's to give us hope, not to stop praying, not to give up, but to continue on. And if I had a thought this morning, it would be the passion and the love of a mother. Listen, she could have got offended and said, He didn't even think enough of me to even speak to me. I'm just going to get up and go my way. You know, we live in a day and a time where we stop putting our children where they need to be, and that's at the prefaces of our life, and to live our lives so that they may know Christ and that they may be born again. And if it was all about her, she would have got up and walked away. And how many people have got offended in the house of God and got up and walked away? Let me tell you what's greater than your feelings. It's the need of your children to find Jesus. And there have been untold generations that have left the house of God, and their children are in the world and they don't know the love of Christ because their feelings were greater than the need of their children. Oh, that ain't a whole lot of amens, but that's all right. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what? When the Lord saved me, it ain't about me anymore. There's a greater need than me. You know, we were talking about that this morning, Barry, in Sunday school. There's a greater need than what I'm going through. It's the need that is around me. And if I'll get myself involved in the work of God, I'll be too busy to worry about where I'm lacking and what I'm lacking of. And listen, children, listen. That mother said, whatever I have to do, my baby gotta have some help. You ever been there? I tell you what, I'd rather fight every man in here than some of you mama bears. I really would. Hey, listen, when it's your baby that needs help, when it's your baby that's sick, hey, I've seen mother, let me say this, I can say things and cut up with men, and I can cut up with you ladies, but Lord, if I say something about your child, I tell you what, that's a recipe for disaster for the little old preacher. And you know what? I've learned that. I've learned that by experience. Hey, I've made some stupid comments, and I had a woman just about by my head off. I understand you talk about one another, but you better keep your hands off the children and your words. And here she is, her daughter's at home, vexed with the devil, and there's nothing she can do for her child. Have you ever felt that way? Let me ask you, do I have anybody raising teenagers? Do I have anybody who's raised teenagers? And listen, don't lose hope. He's awful young right now. But listen, and I'm going to tell you, hey, she's the most beautiful, precious thing in the world. But I'll promise you this, Dev, son, you will pay for your raising one way or another. Notice I didn't say Riley. Mama Bear, you get in now, don't you? They get to that age to where you just don't have control. Let me say this, parents, listen, and listen good, okay? You better give your children everything you can, because when they get 16 to 18 years old, they've done have their own mindset and their own attitude. And I get these calls I have over the years that say, my son or my daughter, preacher, can you help me? Listen, you should have dealt with that and loved them and took them to the house of God and instilled the good things of God in their life. I don't know what it was, but when I turned 14, God saved me as a 12-year-old boy. But at 14 years old, there were some thoughts that came to my mind and an attitude that came to my life. And I lived to that attitude. And it was like everybody else around me, even though I knew better, I lost the sense of myself and who I was. I was just like this little old daughter. I lost my mind. tell me I'm not the only one. In that part of growing up, we say, oh, they're just sowing their wild oats. Let me say this about sowing our wild oats. While we're sowing our wild oats, we can do damage to our lives and face consequences that follow us all of our lives. Now listen, children, I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect you to make some mistakes. But what I am telling you, if you're not careful, no matter how kind-hearted or good-hearted you are, the spirit of this world will creep up in your mind and you'll find yourself doing things you never thought you would do. Now she says, it's out of my hands. I can't do nothing with my girl anymore. I got to have some help. Let me say this. Hey, I'm not against psychiatrists. I'm not against psychologists. How many of you know, though, you can deal with a mind, and until you change the heart, nothing will ever change. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is he don't just deal with the mind. He deals with the heart. And so he acts like he doesn't even hear. He heard every word she said. He turns away. The Bible said she came to him again. And this time, you know, the disciples are saying, now look, she's troubling us. She's bothering us. Send her away. Now listen, if the Lord was all about himself, if he was all about not caring about her, at that point the story would end. But he stays right there and he forbids them to cast her away. And so she comes again and falls down before him, worshiping him. And here's what she said. She came and said, listen, I love this short prayer. There are a lot of people that think they got to pray some eloquent prayer to find the help of the Lord. You know what she said? Simply said, Lord, help me. Oh, is there anybody in the house this morning that would just say, Lord, help me. I can't do anything about my child. I can't do anything about the life they're living. Lord, help me. There's some of you here this morning. Oh, I tell you, don't give up on the Lord in due season. If you'll just hold on, the Lord will show up and things will change. She said, Lord, help me. Do I have any mamas and daddies of any 20-somethings and teens that would say, Lord, help me? Let me tell you this, growing up with Hunter, my son, he was a diva. And you know, I can't tell you the times I said to the Lord, Lord, help me. You know what the Lord told her? He said, no, wait, he said, I've just come to the house of Israel. I'm right now, my offering is just to the Jews. Do you realize that her faith is going to move the Lord to do something on her behalf that maybe would not have happened any other way? He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, boy, at that point, had a lot of you women, you'd be fired up. Y'all saw where the Will Smith come up on stage and slapped the guy the other day. That might be the point that some of you women would have one of them slaps heard around the association, around the world. Some of y'all wasn't here, didn't get that one. He said, wait. It's not meat. It's not right for me to give the master's bread to dogs. Let me tell you about this woman. She realized that his table had bread. And if you'll have it, we took communion last week, and the Lord is setting up over the table, and the bread's on the table, and the Lord's got his arms covered over it. And she says, but now wait, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. I believe the moment she said that, he opened up his arms and said, all right, come and eat. Your faith, listen, I've never seen a faith like this. Come and eat. I'm going to tell you, every now and again, you've got to stick to prayer. Every now and then, you've got to be steadfast. Every now and again, God don't answer your prayer right when you pray it. Sometimes you've got to be patient and wait on the Lord. It's not meat to cast the bread, the master's or the children's bread to the dogs. You know what he called her? He said, You're just a little old dog. And is it right to give the food off the table to the dogs? Listen to what she said. She said, of a truth, that's what I am. You know what all of us are? We're just old sinful dogs. That's what we are. I don't care how good you think you are. Hey, listen, down in your carnal self, you're still just an old sinful dog. But let me tell you about the sinful dog. Thank God every now and again, he still gets a crumb from the master's table. Listen, all of them were looking at that through the eyes of the flesh. Oh, but there was a spiritual something going on there. Listen, every now and again, we've got to push past what our eyes can see. We got to push past our feelings to get a hold of God. You say, Brother Russell, I don't feel like worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you something. Sometimes feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. Here's the problem. I've seen this in about every church. No, I won't say every church. I've seen this in a few churches that I've had revival in this spring. They're so moved by the emotion of the moment that they miss the Spirit of God. I tell you, listen. Hey, let me ask you this. When the Spirit of God moves, does it move you? Does He move your emotions? Well, you saw me cry. You see me moved. I'm going to be, there'll be tears in my eyes. But I'm going to tell you this. Listen. It's more than just emotion. There's a moving down in the heart of the Spirit of God. There are a lot of people that all they're addicted to is the emotion of the moment. And your relationship with God has to be deeper than how you feel. Has anybody ever felt like giving up? Oh, I'm the only one. That's all right. You know what? So let me ask you, when you feel like giving up, does God ever talk to you? Hey, I went in before and said, all right, God, I resign. I'm done. I ain't got nothing left to give. And you know what God will let me do? He'll let me mope around and He'll let me whine and I don't hear a thing from Him and everything is dead silent on the other end. And then the Lord passes by and that thought comes to my mind. Boy, who do you think you are? Now's not the time to set out or give up. Get up and be a man. I'll tell you this, and I've told you this before. One busy October Saturday, on the day that was the busiest day of the year, it set in a raining, and man, I got so angry with God and upset. I sat down in my chair, my self-righteous self. I flipped open my Bible, and I said, oh, you know, I'm going to get into something here, and God, I'm going to hold you to what you said. What an arrogant thought. Like God needs somebody to remind Him what He said. And I start going through some scriptures. You know, the promises, some of the promises of God. Well, God, you said we'd never see the seed of the righteous begging for bread. And Lord, now I'm not even going to be able to eat because it's raining and we ain't making no money. And I went on through that and went on maybe about 5 or 10 minutes. And it got real quiet in my mind. Boy, and that's something for me. It got real quiet. And God spoke to me in that small, still voice, and He said, stop it. You ever heard the Lord tell you to stop it? He said, stop it. Be a man. Trust me. I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm asking you to trust me. He told Job, when Job began to chide, he said, Job, where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I spoke the stars and slung them into existence? Job, where were you at? I demand of you. Where were you when I did all this? Job had a change of heart. And Job had a change of attitude. Here this woman is. She's not discouraged whatsoever. She's got this internal drive and this internal desire. All that matters is seeing her daughter's life fixed. That's all she cares about. She's not worried about her feelings. She's not worried about what other people say about her. Let me say this. Sometimes in our children's lives, we got to eat our pride and swallow our pride. And it don't matter how God fixes it. Block out all the noise from everybody else and hear the Lord and Him alone. There'll be people that tell you what you're doing, hey, you ain't parenting the right way. Does anybody else get tired of people who don't have kids trying to tell you how to raise kids? They're the very best ones to tell you. You ain't ever had a child. You ain't stayed up with my child at night when they were sick. You ain't got up in the middle of the night when there's a thunderstorm. You didn't have your baby lay on the bed with you with her head on your chest. You ain't been there. Don't tell me. You don't know what love is. And there's some things, Kurt, you'll learn. You'll learn the hard way, brother. Parents, there'll be some things that you learn the hard way. I'll say this and I'll close. Listen, is there a perfect parent in the house of God? I want to see your hand if there is. Good, so I know you're not liars. Not about this anyway. I spent my children left home, and I've spent the last couple of years just praying, God, please, I hope I didn't mess them up. You know, because now their mate got to deal with what I, you know, the way I raised them, not the way Keena raised them. She did a great job. Happy Mother's Day, though. There are things that I passed down physically to you, baby. I don't know why you got the worst of my physical traits. God help. I see you with these stones. I see you hurting. I'm sorry. The things I handed down to my son, anger. Boy, I wish I could go back and do that again. But I can't. But I want to be like that little, the Bible calls her a Syrophoenician woman in the book of Mark, 7th chapter. I want to be like her and strip myself of all my pride and say, Lord, this ain't about me. It's about my baby. It's about my son. It's about my daughter. Lord, it doesn't matter how people view me. All I care is that my children find the help that they need. She said, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. Boy, I tell you, I've done some stupid things as a parent. I've done some stupid things as a pastor. But every now and again, I get close enough to the table and I get a crumb and it's enough to keep me pressing on toward the Lord. Stand to your feet this morning. One of the greatest realizations we'll ever have as a Christian is to realize once we're saved, this is not about us anymore. It's not about my feelings. And I pray all of y'all feel good. I do. Lord, I want you to walk out there going, man, God met with us today. But every now and then you got to strip yourself of all your pride and you got to come to the Lord just as genuine as you know how, and simply say, Lord, help me. There are times that we try to fix ourselves. Does anybody try to fix themselves? I'm going to tell you, there are things about me that I cannot fix. Now, I have my part in them, but there are things in my life that I have to bring to Jesus and just say, Lord, help me. And you know what? I may die struggling with some of the same things I'm struggling with now, but I'm going to die believing and praying that the Lord's going to help me. If you need the Lord's help this morning, you come and you pray. What you got, Steve? I've been so blessed that the Lord has seen fit to not let my children pull too far away. They make it back relatively unscathed, and I thank the Lord for that. But I've also grown up with family that about 14 or 15 years old, they just reveled any authority. Let me say this, young people. God give you a mama and a daddy for a reason. That reason is to love you. And listen, sometimes love has to endure chastisement. It is a part of it every now and then. You have to be put in line. I'm 52 years old almost, and every now and then God has to put me in line. Every now and then we go out behind the woodshed, and He wears me out. But the apostle in Hebrews said He does that because He loves me. Listen, I don't know what it is about those teenage years, but if you're not careful, you get caught up in the spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world, it says, be your own man and follow what everybody else is doing. Don't you want to be a part of that? And I'll tell you where you'll end up, in the pig pen, begging for bread, having nothing to eat and nothing in your pocket. And I tell you what, though, there's always time and opportunity for you to realize where you're at with God. And I love the prodigal son. The Bible said he said within himself, I will arise and go to my father's house. There are things in your life you can't get right with other people till you get right with God. And other people may forgive you, and that's well and good, and we need each other's forgiveness, but there's a forgiveness that only comes from heaven. Are your sins forgiven? We got a body called the body of Christ with people that are full of guilt and condemnation because they never asked God to forgive them. If you've got something in your life and you need forgiveness this morning, you come and you pray. One more verse.